life.
Chance to set aside the rush of our daily lives, to pause with humility before an almighty God, to seek His grace and mindful of our own imperfections. I felt the compassion of so many faith leaders around the world, and I am especially looking forward to returning to the Vatican next month to meet His Holiness Pope Francis. We see governments engaging in discrimination and violence against the faith. We sometimes see religion twisted in an attempt to justify hatred and persecution against other people just because of who they are. There are men and women in uniform all around the world. We pray for them. Many of them doing such great work to keep us safe.
That would be President Obama at the prayer breakfast in Washington, D.C., which keeps getting bigger and bigger every single year. And notice there's a couple of different themes in there, but always with the military, the people immediately are right behind him on that one. And I certainly agree with that as well. What a way to start America Tonight, this version of it anyway. Hi, I'm Kate Delaney. Hope you're doing well wherever you are. And you have electricity. If you don't, maybe you can't hear me right now and you're someplace else holed up. In Pennsylvania, they say it's still pretty bad. Hundreds of thousands of people without, well, I don't think hundreds of thousands of people, but a lot of people without electricity on this night. It started off, it was like 800,000. And now I think the latest total I got was like 300. It's changed in the last hour or so. A lot of different crews are out there trying to help them restore all the power that they can. And another round of storms headed toward the East Coast and the Midwest as well. So a big brace for that. Over the weekend, there are predictions of such things. In the meantime, the Winter Olympics kicked off in Sochi, Russia. They kicked off with snowboarding, freestyle skiing, and figure skating. Those are those preliminary rounds to get them into the medal rounds. The U.S. had some problems with the figure skating because their strongest events haven't happened yet. And in snowboarding, looking okay, and in freestyle skiing, looking okay. We have our medal challenge coming up in our next hour. Here's how it works. You call up and tell me how many medals overall do you think the U.S. is going to win. And if you want to take it a step further, you could break it down and tell me how many golds, bronze, and gold, silvers, and bronze medals, because that would give you, what, four chances to possibly win. But be pretty easy to just come with an overall guess of how many you think it'll be. I don't know, 50, 40, 30, 5. No, it'll be more than 5. Hopefully, be a very sad time in the U.S. Olympic history if that were the case. They're getting ready for the big opening ceremonies, which will happen. It's already daytime in Russia. It'll happen at 6:30 Eastern. And a lot riding on that. Always, that's the one of the highlights of the Olympics is the opening games, because every athlete comes in and somebody gets to be the flag bearer, and it's pretty cool to see all the countries and then to talk about the athletes and all that kind of stuff. And that's what we'll head into the weekend. At least some people, I'm sure, for fun, will be watching the Olympics. A lot of times people like to watch the Olympics not because they're so into sports, but it's that whole pride for American athletes. Yeah, let's cheer on these young athletes who are busting their tails to get to the Olympics, you know, that kind of thing, let's say. Speaking of busting their tails, not, immigration is stalled again. John Boehner, the Speaker of the House, says the President has to regain the trust of his caucus. The House Speaker is trying to place the burden on the White House, and there's lots of opposition from all kinds of people, including hardline conservatives. And, I mean, this is pretty obvious here. What is the big problem with immigration, and why is it stalled? Because we don't have secure borders. How can you possibly, it's true, it doesn't matter what you think Democrat, Republican, independent, whatever. I think it's common sense. How can you overhaul immigration if you don't have that? So I doubt that we'll see anything here, and I'm not surprised by that. I think it's going to be really difficult to move forward. I think it's all about the conversation, and it becomes an election topic, but that's it. And we've seen this before. Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell and Congressman Paul Ryan said this week that an immigration deal remains a long shot. And I think that's pretty much it, because Congress is definitely divided on this. Now, if Boehner pursues the bill in a midterm election, there are some that are saying he'll probably lose his speaker's gig. So I don't see Boehner, I mean, his aides are saying he's committed to immigration reform, but already he's saying, well, we don't really trust the administration, so I think that's going to get in the way, and I don't believe. They keep saying this for 15 months. They're calling immigration the top priority, but they're not bringing any legislation to the House floor. I don't believe anything's going to happen there. How's it going to happen? Because conservatives are opposed to it, and anybody in the middle, they talk about it, but they also have problems with it because of the same thing about the security thing. So how do you get it done, and how's Boehner going to get it done without the caucus? I don't think so. If there's a trial balloon that's up there, it's definitely been popped. You have to have majority support to even try this. So we've been talking about immigration reform for a long time. And remember, last summer, 68 senators approved a bill that would allow undocumented immigrants a chance to earn permanent legal residency in 10 years, and citizenship 3 years later. Boehner declared he couldn't hold a vote on that plan. Nothing has changed since then. Nothing has changed since then. So I don't know how anybody thinks immigration is going to be a top. It might be a top thing to talk about in the elections, but I don't see how anyone thinks it's going to be really top of the legislative agenda. I don't think so. They can push and push and push as much as they want, but it comes down to the same thing, the lame excuses, the border is porous, and the whole amnesty thing and all of that other stuff is not happening. We can go back to the 80s. There were laws in the books. They weren't enforced. And so then this is what you get. You have a country with a big problem and not a lot of answers as to how to deal with it, because there is definitely not a consensus in a year that is ripe for some political fates and fortunes to either rise or fall in the midterms. And then after that, of course, you have the presidential election in 2016. So sure, immigration reform is definitely, definitely stalled, without a doubt. Coming up this hour of America Tonight, we got some great guests for you. Speaking of the issues, Chad Peace joins us. He talks about forgetting the labels, let's just have the conversation. And then Chris Ann Hall joins us to tell you her story about what happened when she decided to teach the Constitution. She lost her job. Stay with us. Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado. And to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring, because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis. but it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America, and he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier, and I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
Making the right decisions is a challenge to investors. Are we going to see economic growth slide into a recession or, at worst, depression? Hi, Ted Anderson from Midas Resources. We all know when a company acts irresponsibly, divesting ourselves in a move towards safety is prudent. When the market becomes volatile, U.S. treasuries are a safe haven. But what do you do when the U.S. government overextends itself and spends beyond its means? Many investors are turning toward gold as a common-sense alternative to traditional paper investments. Midas Resources has put together a powerful book titled 10 Reasons to Own Gold, discussing costs, benefits, risks, featuring full-color illustrations, weights, and measures. The book is free and can be yours by calling 800-686-2237. Paper investments are dwarfed by gold's 6,000-year history. Discover how gold may be right for you and your IRA by calling 800-686-2237. Whether buying or it's time for you to sell, the book is free. Call 800-686-2237.
Hey everyone, have you heard about the no-no hair removal device that's sweeping the globe? If you want to go weeks without shaving and get smooth, professional, quality results, here's our favorite host, Cheryl, for no-no hair removal.
Thanks. Hey gals, I love talking about my no-no. It's this cute little hair removal system that you can take with you and use almost anywhere at home or on the road. No more expensive in-office treatments, painful waxing, and no more wasting your valuable time. Got unwanted facial hair? No-no has patented Thermacon technology that works on all hair and skin colors, so it's perfect for using on all body parts. And now you can take advantage of this incredible risk-free trial. Get the No-No, the facial kit, a travel case, and a $100 discount shopping card, and you don't risk a penny to try it. Try the incredible No-No hair completely risk-free. Call 1-800-953-6062. That's 800-953-6062. 800-953-6062.
Jumping in and hanging along with us here on America Tonight. Remember, you can always throw in your two cents, 855-266-5283. Here's the question. Why was Sochi chosen anyway for the Winter Olympics? They have to have their heads examined. I think one of the funniest pictures that I've seen coming out of there so far was a construction site with the skiers, Olympic skiers, walking with their skis and their boots and everything in hand past the construction. It looked like they were, I don't know, it looked like they were misplaced. They're world-class athletes just going, stepping over the boards and all the nails and everything else that was laying strewn across the bricks. This is Russia. What can I say? The money flows, but it flows at the top of a very corrupt system. All right, so here's the thing. The media is not used to this. When you are in the media, you know, the television media, the writers, even the radio people, whatever, all the different forms of media, they get their pass to go to the Olympics. Their station sends them over to Sochi. And they arrive, and the accommodations, well, they're just not that great. So we thought we would let you hear some of the tweets from these reporters who are less than thrilled about what's happening in Russia. Cue the violin, please. All right, this one is from Harry, who says CNN booked 11 rooms in a Sochi media hotel 5 months ago. We've been here for a day, and only one room is available. This one from Sean, who says, still waiting for preparations, in parentheses, on hotel rooms to finish. hoping their origami folding toilet roll rather than, say, putting the roof on. One of the big problems has been that they have toilets where when you go into the toilets, and the athletes too, it's all the toilets are around each other. There's no stalls. It is very strange. So listen, we're all humans and we get it. When you're a guy, you go in and there's urinals. Well, for the ladies, we don't have that. We have stalls. And for the men, there are stalls, by the way, when you have toilets. But not in Russia, not the way they've set it up. It's very, very odd. All right, here's another one from Rose, who says, water main break means no water at our hotel. Could take a while to fix. That's CCTV. And then somebody else writes, Kevin writes, the reception of our hotel in Sochi has no floor, but it does have a picture of Vladimir Putin. Then this one says, hotel issues have been happening a lot to people. Left out on the street, you risk being poisoned or trapped like the dogs. Hot water? Don't even ask. They don't have it. Then there's another one from Mark who says, my hotel doesn't have a lobby yet. To check in, you go to the owner's bedroom. Oh, that's creepy. You take my credit cards. Just put it there on the pillow. So, then there's another one from somebody who I've really enjoyed her tweets. From Stacy St. Clair, who says, water restored, sort of. On the bright side, I know what very dangerous face water looks like. And what it is the water is yellow. I mean, it is as yellow can be, like the sun. So this Stacy St. Clair says, I just washed my face with Evian like I'm a Kardashian or something. Then there's another one from Katie. These are tweets, mind you, who says, made a new pal from La Presse as we struggled to find the hotel. When we got to our temporary rooms, his doorknob came off in his hand. And then another one, finally, I'll wrap this up. Ryan, these are tweets. He tweets, congrats to Dave Schwartz, only media personality who's arrived in Sochi with a hotel room that's ready, with a doorknob that doesn't fall off. So a lot of the reports are exactly that. They have, if they have the room, a lot of times the doorknob is falling off in their hands. They don't have hot water, and they don't have curtains on the window. Oh, and when they step out of their hotels, they have those manholes like we have, but they're not all covered. So you have to really look down. I know somebody that fell into a manhole. You don't want that to happen. Then that happened in New York City. And usually they're all covered. It was a freak accident. But here they're saying they're not all covered. You have to walk and you have to look because you're just not really sure what's going to happen. So the Olympic Organizing Committee in Sochi has really got a lot of problems in dealing with the hotel rooms and, you know, whatever. I think the CNN people, that's pretty bad when they have 11 rooms booked and only one was ready to go. I guess you have to be prepared for anything. We live in the United States of America, right? And we complain about everything. We have it easy. What are we complaining about when we get hotel rooms? This sounds like, this is the problem. They're way over budget, like everybody is when they do this. They're like $51 billion over budget. And so why they were hosting the Olympics, that's the first thing in the first place. That's the problem. But then they're not prepared. I mean, you know, they're not prepared. So that's what the scoop is. I have a feeling, and that's why we played the violin, that none of you feel that badly for all those poor reporters who are at the Olympics covering the Olympics, right? I'm just saying, I have a feeling. I have a very strong feeling about that one. All eyes are definitely there anyway for what's going to happen in the Olympic Games. And Russia's insisting the city is secure, and they're talking about potential surveillance of visiting people. They're talking about liquids being banned on the Russia flights. Well, we knew that was going to happen. And yada, yada, yada from there. Hey, coming up on America Tonight, we do our cheap movie review. One of the movies that's getting a lot of buzz, really, can't tell you haven't seen it. If it's good, I've only seen clips and talked to some people about it, but it's called The Monument Men. And that's that whole thing where the art was stolen during the war. The Nazis, of course, Hitler wanted it, taking a lot of works of art. And this unit that was designed to get the art back. And George Clooney is one of the many people in this. Matt Damon's in it, and a whole bunch of other people, Bill Murray and others. But the idea, the Monuments Men was a real deal. The guys going back to get the art. I think the story itself is fascinating. And I wonder, to talk to the real-life guys and to know the stories of the real-life guys who really inspire this movie would be interesting. And let's see if the movie lives up to the story. But the story is very, very cool, trying to train these art people, architects and artists and whatnot, to actually be soldiers and go in and be able to determine what was a real work of art and what wasn't is pretty clever, actually, when they decided to do that. Otherwise, who knows what we would have lost. In fact, we would have lost a lot of things if they hadn't thought about that. So imagine that in the middle of a war, you're thinking about, well, look at all the things that are being stolen out of these countries, and we better do something about it to make sure that we get some of it back. Otherwise, giant pieces of history are going to be missing. So I love the concept. What a great idea to do the movie on that, because how many people really know the story? So that's one of the movies that we'll look at, and then there's a couple others as well that we will throw in there. And then finally, for this segment, sad story about the Taliban fighters who captured a U.S. military dog. The lengths they'll go to, right? But it's true. NBC confirmed it. They have abducted a military dog from an American unit in Afghanistan. The dog was taken during a raid. There were six soldiers that were killed, and that's what the Taliban says anyway. So they uploaded a video clip of the dog to a jihadist website, and the dog looked pretty frightened. And the Taliban says this dog was very important to the Americans. Once we got this dog, the Americans tried their best to get it back, but they didn't succeed. So, I don't know, maybe we'll get it back. Who knows? Awful. Stay with us. Coming up next, a conversation with Chad Peace about ditching the labels and talking about the issues.
Question: could too many GMO foods and toxins be overloading your digestive and immune systems? Answer: yes. If you're searching for a powerful detox that's gentle enough to use every day, use Pro-EM-1 from Terriganix. Pro-EM-1 is a powerful liquid probiotic that uses good bacteria to suppress pathogens and gently eliminate toxins from your body. A healthy digestive system will cleanse and remove toxins, support weight loss, improve absorption of food nutrients, and aid in controlling yeast and other infections. Pro-EM-1 is made with only non-GMO and certified organic ingredients, has no preservatives, and is dairy, soy, wheat, and gluten-free. Pro-EM-1 is the key to your digestive health. Order Pro-EM-1 Daily Probiotic Cleanse at Terraganix.com, spelled TERRAGANIX.com, or call toll-free 866-369-3678. That's 866-369-3678. Also available through Amazon Prime. Pro-EM-1 from Terraganix. Life's getting better.
Great minds think alike. The network for the independent minded. The Genesis Communications Network. GCN.
Curious about what comes next? Next is the feeling of vulnerability you get after you arrive home to discover your house has been ransacked by burglars. Fool the bad guys with a new improved fake TV. You asked for it, we listened, and we made our new Fake TV 3 times brighter than our previous model. The brightness of our new Fake TV is equivalent to a 40-inch TV. It simulates the color and motion of a real TV while you're away from home. And when burglars think someone is home watching television, they're likely to pass your house and move on to an easier target. The new, brighter Fake TV is only $39.95 and includes free shipping. Go to faketv.com or call 1-877-5-FAKE-TV. That's 877-532-5388 or go to faketv.com. Fake TV, the burglar deterrent.
If you owe the IRS back taxes, listen carefully. Sweeping changes to IRS policies will help more people than ever eliminate their tax debts once and for all. And now, I can help you reduce or eliminate your tax debts and end your tax nightmare. Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I've helped thousands of people reduce and eliminate tax debts they couldn't pay. And after more than 30 years of experience dealing with the IRS, I can tell you there's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. And with the IRS's new policies, it's easier than ever to put your tax debt behind you once and for all. Call now at 800-346-6829 to learn how I can help you. You know your IRS debt will not go away by itself, but you don't have to live in fear anymore. Call 800-346-6829. Learn how I can help you eliminate wage and bank levies, release tax liens, and negotiate a settlement with the IRS that will put your tax nightmare behind you forever. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to taxhelponline.com. That's taxhelponline.com.
It's that time of year again, and you know what that means. Cold and flu season. But don't worry. HerbalHealer.com has you and your loved ones covered with our safe and natural products. Cold and flu fighters like beta-glucans, olive leaf antiviral capsules, grapefruit seed extract, HHA 4-herb capsules, elderberry power, and respirate. And don't forget about oregacillin for the lungs, normally $34.95, on sale now for only $25. Vitamin D3, 120-count soft gels, only $9. Whole body and homeopathic detoxes for the lungs, kidneys, liver, lymph, and brain. Normally $26.95, now just $20. HerbalHealer.com also offers correspondence courses to teach you how to handle your health naturally. And as always, new customers get a free 128-page catalog with your order. Visit HerbalHealer.com and click the Winter Specials button to save on our natural cold and flu fighting products. HerbalHealer.com, healing the world with nature, one person at a time, since 1988.
Independent voters for a long time. How many times have I said on this show, I don't care if you're right of right or left of left or somewhere in between, and boy, there's a whole bunch of us that are in between. How long have we said that on America Tonight, that what about the independent voter? Somebody who's very concerned about those voters is Chad Peace. He's in our virtual green room right now. He joins us. Chad, more and more the independent voter is the growing bunch, if you will, out there, isn't it?
Well, it is, and I think one of the things that's hard is because we all have different definitions of what an independent voter is. I think a lot of the, you know, political consultants and the people on the mainstream news media try to label independent voters one by their party registration. I fundamentally believe, as the organizations I work with, that independent voters are hard to define because they're very, very diverse. And it's not an ideology, it's not a party affiliation, but it's a state of mind. And that you can find independent voters within the Democratic Party, within the Republican Party. They could be libertarians, or they could be not registered at all. They could be Greens, and so on. Is that independent voters are really just those voters who don't accept in totality everything the Democrats say is right or everything the Republicans say is right, and really look at representatives and people as individuals and not by their party label.
Yeah, well said. Here's to no labels, actually, too. So you, one of the things that you do is you've got the Independent Voter Network, and tell me what the outreach is there.
Well, the Independent Voter Network is it's a platform, you know, so it does not take positions on policy itself. We're really just a platform that we open up to journalists, representatives, you know, civic leaders to utilize as a news outlet, where all we require is that anybody who published on that site meet four simple etiquette guidelines. No partisan attack, no personal attacks, substantiate what you say, and no self-promotion, meaning make it about the news, not about you, right? If you're doing something, mm-hmm. write about why it's newsworthy.
Yeah.
And so what we're doing with IVN is just simply provide an outlet for people who want to talk to each other. And we believe that if we can have a place where we can get out information where the environment isn't so divisive, we can bring independent-minded voters from all over the place to have more substantive conversation.
Yeah, do you think that's part of the problem, that because people stick by, well, I'm a Democrat, I'm a Republican, I'm of whatever party, and so that's it. This, I just go down the list, and that's who I hang with, and we are not having these conversations, and that's part of the problem that we sort of need to put an end to, not sort of, but need to put an end to all this partisanship that's out there?
Well, I think so, and I don't think anybody individually is really to blame for that atmosphere, but I think it's the... I think if anything's to blame, it's just the common acceptance that we believe that we have this two-party system. Not so much the two-party system itself, but the fact that the two parties are so institutionalized that we think of everything in context of what does this issue mean for the Republicans, or what does this issue mean for the Democrats? And
yeah.
We don't have the conversation of what is this issue in the first place, right? So we allow the parties to define what the debate is. And as a consequence, voters of any party affiliation, it's natural to think, okay, well, for me to participate in the political process, I have to define myself as being this Republican or this Democrat that's been standardized in the larger debate, right? So I think part of it is creating an atmosphere where representatives are accountable to more than just that small segment of the electorate that says, yes, I'm a Democrat on everything the Democratic Party says, and vice versa.
Do you think there's a lot of, I feel this way in doing the show that I do, people are really concerned about all kinds of issues, and they really don't want to label themselves. They're the kind of people you're talking about, but they feel very disenfranchised. Do you think there are a lot of people in that boat?
Well, I think there's no doubt there's a lot of people in that boat, and there's lots of empirical evidence as well. I mean, you know, we have a 10% approval rating of our representatives. Almost 46%, I think the latest Gallup poll is 46% of voters self-identify as independent voters. And then you have states like New Jersey, where in order to vote in a primary, you're required to join a party. But despite that, 47% of their voters have still said, I'm not joining you, even if that's the only way for me to vote in the primary. So, and I mean, that goes on in state by state by state, that you have election laws requiring people to join a party in order to vote. And despite that, people are still in huge numbers exiting the parties. And I think that goes, you know, the question is, yeah, that's evidence that more and more and more people don't want to define themselves within the constructs that I think are really narrowing and narrowing and narrowing issues into, you know, simplistic talking points that really aren't substantive.
Yeah, well said. Why not get down into the concrete and really dig a little bit harder instead of what's there on the surface? And do you think that's just because it's eroded over a period of time? That's my philosophy. I think that's how it kind of broke down, the money, huge dollars being directed and being able to push policy because of how much was donated and all that kind of stuff, that it just sent us spiraling into this kind of direction, especially in the last couple of decades. What do you think?
No, I think absolutely. This didn't happen just overnight. I think it's really, if you look over the last, really over more than 100 years, it's been a steady erosion. And that's why I say you can't blame a single person. But it's really over the years, the parties themselves, through their representatives that were elected as members of a party, have done things like change the district boundaries through gerrymandering, right? They've created ballot access laws that if you're not a part of the Democrat or Republican Party, here's a bunch of requirements that you must be a bajillionaire in order for you to meet them, right? And then they've gone in the courtrooms. And lately, the parties have been going into courts from Hawaii and Iowa, states that have open primary systems that allow independents to vote. And they've gone into the courts and said, they can't vote in our primaries because these are our private primaries and they're messing up our process, which I think there is a lot of merit to their argument. They are private organizations, but the courts and the parties don't address the second question is if they're private organizations, why don't we ever question, well, why are they taking taxpayer funds to run their private primaries and then saying, well, you're a taxpayer that funded this, but because you didn't join my organization, you can't vote in it, right?
Yeah, exactly.
So it's a combination of, legislation, precedent set in the courts, gerrymandering, and all of these factors come together slowly over hundreds of years or so to create a process where more and more and more voters get disenfranchised. And so how that relates to the money problem, right? For every voter that gets removed, gets disenfranchised from the system, that's less people that the money has to influence, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So the moneyed interests have an interest in reducing the amount of people that can actually participate because it makes it easier for them to affect it.
Absolutely, and voter turnout. I mean, you see how low the voter turnout is. If we could flip things around, because you make a lot of sense, it's stuff that we talk about often here on America Tonight, the conversation, wouldn't it be great to see an influx of voters that really want to go and vote and have that pride of being able to be part of the conversation? Is that one of your end goals as well?
Well, absolutely, and I think, a lot of the popular debate talks about vote, when they talk about, well, there's low voter turnout because people don't care, they don't want to participate. Well, I think if you look, you have to think about it in the context of real life, right? We have people who need to take care of their kids, they're taking their kids to a football game, they're folding their laundry, they're trying to get a job, and then they go and turn on their TV. And as much as they want to get engaged and do their civic duty to get involved and know what's going on in politics, all they see are two sides, superficial debate going on where people are yelling at each other and talking about issues that the average person says, I don't agree with either one of them. So why would we then expect them to turn the TV off and be like, wow, I want to get involved in that. I want to spend the limited time that I have in my day aside from all the things that affect my life on a day-to-day basis and get involved in this mudslinging match where it doesn't do anything to make my life immediately better.
Yeah, well said. Well said. So if somebody wants to find you, they can go to npartisanship.com. Where else?
They can go to, npartisanship.com, forward to .org, so it doesn't matter. They can also find the news site, ivn.us. And I would say those are the two best places to find out about what we're doing in terms of the news and in terms of our legal strategy to challenge the current system. And I encourage anybody and everybody to get involved, and they can email me directly at chad@ivn.us if they have any questions for me.
Yeah, boy, I hope those numbers swell. I think it's great what you're doing, and to have that conversation move forward is just terrific. Chad Peace, thanks so much for coming on America Tonight.
Well, thank you very much, and I hope to talk to you soon.
Thanks, Chad. We'll talk to you again in the future.
It's no secret that silver is one of the oldest known natural antibiotics, but the mainstream media will never tell we the people this information. Why? Many drug companies and politicians have dangerous alliances that manipulate the way we live by prescribing drugs that only manage disease, keeping us dependent on Big Pharma. And with Obamacare at our doorstep, we are now forced into a system that many of us do not want any part of. And no man or government has the right to dictate how we as free people choose to take care of our health. The Patriots at UtopiaSilver.com hold this truth dear. Colloidal and ionic silver supplements from UtopiaSilver.com open the door to a whole new world of natural healing for the body and the mind. Visit UtopiaSilver.com and discover the safe and effective health benefits of colloidal and ionic silver. Call 888-213-4338, 888-213-4338, and talk to the Patriots at UtopiaSilver.com, a leading source of natural healing using colloidal silver, colloidal gold, minerals, vitamins, and herbs. UtopiaSilver.com.
We live in a complicated society. Stressful issues are always popping up. Have you ever been treated unfairly by someone? Have you ever been overcharged for a repair? Have you ever signed a contract or a document? Worried about identity theft? How many times have you been in those unique situations where you just wanted to call an attorney to find out if you're right or wrong, or what your legal rights are? But every time you think about calling an attorney, what do you think about first? That's right. Who do you call, and how much will it cost? Our friends at Legal Shield have found a solution. With a nationwide network of 6,900 attorneys who average over 19 years of experience, Legal Shield's law firms take over 40,000 calls per week helping their members. For less than $20 per month, you can have access to Legal Shield on everything from the trivial to the traumatic. Let Legal Shield stand up for your rights at lsprotection.com. That's lsprotection.com. Or call 855-340-SAVE. 855-340-7283.
This alert just came in. This special announcement is for business owners and leaders of organizations who've been waiting for the right time to build. General Steel has made it impossible to wait any longer with rock-bottom prices that could save you thousands. That's right. General Steel, America's leader in pre-engineered structures, is offering buildings at prices you will never see again. Don't miss these prices. A 50 by 100 for under $30,000. You heard right. That's 5,000 square feet under $30,000. Manufacturers, if you need a larger building, try a 100 by 100 commercial building for $129,000. You can't afford to rent with these prices. Imagine a 70 by 100 foot church building for under $69,000. With the economy improving and interest rates still at historic lows, you can't afford to wait. So call 866-91-STEEL.
Lock in your price now. Take delivery in spring.
866-91-STEEL. That's 866-917-8335.
Welcome back to America. Tonight in our virtual green room, Chris Ann Hall. She's an attorney and a former prosecutor, actually, who was fired because she was teaching the Constitution after work. We'll get the details from her. She's also a disabled vet of the U.S. Army. Boy, she's got a Russian linguist. That would come in handy now when we're talking about the Olympics and a whole slew of other things. Chris Ann, again, thanks for popping on ATN.
Oh, no, it's my pleasure.
All right. First, because we have the Olympics coming up, I'd be remiss not to ask you this, a Russian linguist. So how did you, when did you learn Russian, and tell us about that?
Well, I when I joined the Army, they picked the language for me.
Wow.
So you, when you join the Army and you take this test to get in, and if you score high on a test, then they give you the job to be a linguist, and then you have to take another test to determine what language you're able to learn, and based on that test, they gave me Russian.
Wow! So you're fluent in Russian, or pretty good with Russian?
Oh, I'm pretty good now. I was a whole lot better 10 years ago.
Yeah, I bet. Yeah. Yes, yeah, so it's interesting. So some of those words we can't pronounce. If you're watching the Olympics, you'll be able to pronounce them, won't you?
That's right.
Good for you.
Well, not only that, I got to know a lot of the, you know, I mean, we didn't just become fluent reading, writing, and speaking, but we also became culturally fluent. So the Olympics in Russia is a very interesting dynamic, and watching Putin play his cards through this whole Russian thing has been something that's been very, very interesting for someone who has that kind of background.
Yeah, so tell us, what's your take on that? I mean, you saw him the other day. You know, there's people are talking about the Olympic Village is half construction. There's still construction going on, and there's all kinds of problems in the village. And more importantly, security is the number one issue. They're talking about these toothpaste tubes and all of that. What's your take on what you're seeing from your point of view?
Well, you know, my point of view is more of a relationship type of view between the neighboring countries. You know, we have all those, you've got Georgia and the neighboring countries there that are very unhappy with Russia. And because of where, I believe that Putin picked this spot, this exact spot for the Olympics to just thumb his nose up at those, at the two neighboring countries there and, instinct them into some type of activity so he could go in and take them back by force.
Yeah, you're not alone in that opinion. There are other people that are saying the same thing, that that's why, and why did the Olympic Committee, in all its wisdom, pick them in the first place, and now we're seeing the other aspects of it and how it's being rolled out. From the point of view of targeting that area, what are your thoughts on that? Because, you know, obviously the security wasn't shared either. That would kind of go along with what you're saying with Putin. The Russians really aren't sharing what they did leading up to the Olympics, and now everybody else is scrambling to try to make it sure it's all secure. What do you think as far as security is concerned? Because we know there's a lot of people that say they would not go to Russia, that it just is not safe. They wouldn't take their families there.
Well, you know, I just sort of chuckle because the idea that the Russians would be sort of open and forthcoming with anything they're doing is really sort of amusing to me, which is, you know, the country should have gone into this expecting that. I mean, it's just who the Russian government is. When Putin, you know, there's no such thing as former KGB, okay? That's the one thing that we have to remember. They describe Putin as former KGB. There's no such thing. And so this is who Putin is. And, you know, the whole dynamics of the thing is, and I don't mean this in a sort of, you know, callous sort of way, it's really sort of amusing because we know who they are and we know how they act. And the fact that we're running around surprised by that is amazing to me.
Yeah, I have to agree with you. The whole idea of former KGB, I've talked to enough people that they would echo that same thing. People who were on the other side of that for the U.S., for example. All right, tell us your story. What happened to you, the reason that you were fired because you were teaching the Constitution after work? Who were you teaching the Constitution to, and how did that all go down?
Well, I was teaching to Republican executive committees, to grassroots groups. I had even taught our local elementary school a First Amendment lesson. And I had also attended, I guess really the crescendo of the whole thing was I attended a tax rally in front of our courthouse. And then I also went on our local talk radio show because at that time, I live in Florida, and so at that time our state attorney, our attorney general, Bill McCollum, had just filed a lawsuit against Obamacare. And so the local talk radio show knew that I had this history in constitutional law and wanted me to come and talk about the unconstitutionality of Obamacare. And I guess, you know, I never kept it any secret what I was doing. I didn't feel like I needed to hide the fact that, you know, when I got off work, I went and taught the Constitution. But my boss didn't like that very much, and he sent me an email and told me that I had to cease and desist all my association with right-wing fringe groups, and then explained to me that since I worked for the government, to advocate for limited government was an ethical conflict of interest.
Wow. Well, and especially since you were so open about it, obviously that's pretty interesting. What was the reaction of the people you work with?
Well, fear, actually. Everybody shut up. I mean, really. It got very quiet around there because I was given an ultimatum. You stop doing this or you stop working here. And I had practiced First Amendment law for 2 years. And I knew that that my boss couldn't make this ultimatum of me, but I still had a choice to make. So my husband is a pastor, and he had just taken over a church, and that brand new church, and was receiving no salary at all. So our only income was my job. We had to make the decision, you know, because I had already been teaching for several months. I had taught over 1,000 people at that time that history repeats itself, and we are going to see a day when you and I are going to have to, and I said this back in 2009, you and I are going to have to stand up and defend our own liberty, just like our framers did. And the question became the one, you know, to our family was, okay, so now this question has come to you, is what is your sacrifice going to be? And my husband and I discussed it. We thought it would be really pretty hypocritical of us to say, you know, you're going to have to stand, but now that we have to, it's too much. So we just simply stepped out by faith and said, you know what? We believe that liberty is a gift from God, and we're going to stand for it. And that's basically how we got here today. I told them this is my First Amendment, and I'm not going to let you take it from me. And by the way, it's not just mine. It belongs to my child. And my child's liberty is worth more than my paycheck. And so we just stepped out, and that's, we're working now on year number 4. Just this past year, I taught 265 constitutional training sessions in 22 states.
Wow, 200, what'd you say, 260?
265 in 22 states.
Wow, in 22 states. And so there's a thirst for more knowledge, I guess, on the Constitution, I bet.
That's right. And a lot of it has to do with the fact that I have sort of a little niche. Nobody else is teaching what I'm teaching. I've laid out the 700 years that it took to write the Constitution. And there are 5 fundamental documents that had to be written over those 700 years. They're documents that I call the genealogy of the Constitution. So just like if your great-grandfather had never lived, you wouldn't be here. These 5 documents are just that essential to the drafting of the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution and the Bill of Rights. And the absolute stunning thing about this history lesson that I teach is that the tyranny of the past 1,000 years absolutely parallels what we see going on in government today. I mean, it's just absolutely shocking. The people who hear this lesson, their mouth hangs open at just how precisely we are repeating history. And then I not only teach the history, but on weekends I teach a 6-hour workshop, 5-hour workshop, really it's 6 hours in time, where I go through the history of the Constitution in detail, and then I walk through the Bill of Rights 1 through 10. And explain where they came from, what they mean, what our framer intended for us to have, and how we're missing the mark today. And I do this all from a historical perspective, not from an opinion perspective. So everything that I teach is from the words of the framers themselves. And I work really hard to make sure I'm historically accurate and don't inject a philosophy in opinion.
Yeah, knowledge is a powerful thing. Good for you. That's great that you're teaching that. And we'll tell everybody, if you want to know more about Chris Ann Hall, go to chrisannhall.com. Thanks so much for coming on America Tonight.
Oh, no, it's my pleasure. Thanks for inviting me.
Thank you.
Now you can get the same survival food U.S. Special Forces use on their toughest field missions. High-protein, high-energy freeze-dried foods known as long-range patrol rations, or LERPs. Soldiers love LERP rations. They're lightweight and easy to carry. Easy to prepare by just adding water. Easy to enjoy because they taste great. Civilians love LERPs as a solution for emergency preparedness and recreational activities with limited storage space, such as hiking, climbing, sailing, or RV travel. Veteran-owned Freeze Dry Guy is your exclusive source for this 2013 U.S. military overrun. Long on nutrition, these delicious entrees have a long shelf life lasting decades. But this rare opportunity, this limited supply, will not last long. You have to act now. Call 866-404-3663, 866-404-FOOD, or log on now to freezedryguy.com, freezedryguy.com.